Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us this evening. Today, we are going to have a fun show, a light show, and it's all about movement and play. I don't think I've ever used the word play before. You know, I looked back on my other 100 shows, never once have I used the word play. And I'm almost in my 60s, and I don't remember the last time I used the word play, so this will be a great show. You know, we're going to be talking about flow today and our chakras, and let me tell you, I know so many of our listeners are like, I have no clue what that word means. I don't know if I want to, you know, figure it out, but I know I've got to just maybe think about some other way to, my health hasn't been doing that great. Maybe I feel like I'm stuck, but I don't know about you. I can tell you everyone and almost everyone I speak to has used that word stuck at least every day or at least once a week. So we're going to be talking about chakras and play, two great words, and my guest today, Maureen, will be describing those and telling us a little bit more about what those words might mean. I don't know about you, but I live in the deep south, and we just got past 3 days of the deepest freeze that has ever been. The whole city shut down. The interstates were totally empty, not a car on them, because they had so much ice. And it was like everybody was in their house and they had, oh, I've got a cold and, you know, I feel very cold and I'm stuck and I can't get out and they feel all blocked up. Well, today was the day to get out and get a little bit more flow. The sun came up, but it was still 40 degrees. So you have to think about your chakras and how your body flows. How does it move? Are you in a place where you want to be? Is your environment maybe something where you don't want to be? And how that might affect your health, but not only the health of our physical body, but also the health of our mind, body, and spirit, because it really does make a difference. You know, I grew up in Pennsylvania, and I love the snow, and I love the cold. Well, after these past 3 days, there's no way I'm going back there. It was like I was freezing. I couldn't get warm, and I was stuck. And yep, I use the word stuck, but I'm not going there. So today we're going to be talking about all different kinds of things and simple techniques that you'll be able to get your body to start moving again and start seeing what that stuckness might be. It could be something physical. It could be something in your spirit. It could just be something that you have to say, hey, I don't know, something's not moving right. Let's figure out what that might be. So today my guest is Maureen Kelly. She's the author of Chakra Play, and we're going to be talking about, it's a how-to book that uses sound and intention to get on or flow within our energy fields. No worries, she's going to explain every single word of that sentence to us. So Maureen, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Dr. Jeanette. I'm really looking forward to sharing.
So don't you think a lot of people use the word stuck these days? And, you know, it could be your environment or anything and you could be stuck, right?
I definitely think so, yeah. A lot of my clients that come to me, they might not even be sure what it is, but there's just something that isn't moving the way they want it to, and I'm so against forcing things. I like the idea of allowing things to kind of happen organically, and so I think the better we know ourselves and can ask the right questions to find out where we're stuck, then, you know, we have a place to start.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started in this type work? I mean, we're not all born being able to, you know, I mean, well, some of us are. I mean, you know, I didn't have hippie parents, but a lot of my friends did. So some of us were born that way, but not everybody.
No, mine weren't hippie. They were wonderful, but they weren't hippies. Although I did grow up in the San Francisco Bay Area, so close enough. But I have been working with the chakras for many years now, actually, and of course later I'm going to go on and discuss exactly what the chakra is, but these energy fields in our body. And I am a yoga teacher, and the yoga that I teach is based on our chakras. And some people call it the everything but the kitchen sink yoga, because we not only do yoga, we do some qigong, which is kind of like a Tai Chi type, a little bit easier than Tai Chi, but the moving of the energy. We do affirmations, we do intention, we do meditations, and we also do sound. And when I became interested in sound, I started working with a man named Stephen Russell, who also goes by the name Barefoot Doctor, and he teaches the Taoist philosophy, and from him what I learned were the Taoist healing sounds for the organs, and it totally fascinated me that by making a specific sound, I could have an influence both emotionally and physically on the organs in my body, on my heart, my lungs, my kidneys, my spleen, my liver, just by making a sound. And it fascinated me enough that I went on to complete a sound healing certification with David Gibson of the Globe and Consciousness Institute in San Francisco. And we covered just about everything that you could imagine about the world of sound, including chakras. And that's when it became clear to me that I needed to work with sound and the chakras and come up with a way that people could use sound to, as you said, remove the stuckness. So that's kind of how that started.
Well, when we think about stuckness, so let's define first stuckness and chakras, because a lot of people have no clue what either one of those words mean. Mm-hmm. And,
sure.
You know, all they think about is, if I don't feel good, I go get the doctor and, you know, I get whatever. He takes care of me. You know, I mm-hmm. even have clients who come to me and I'll say, you know, you really need to keep your medical history and stuff at home so that, you know, if the ambulance comes for you, you'll have something. And they're like, no, I have an insurance card. My doctor knows me. So my insurance card, they can use that on the ambulance to know what's wrong with me. And I'm going, so we need to think that, you know, there's listeners way on either side of the spectrum. And we really need mm-hmm. to hone in and say, you know, what is this?
Well, let's just give a little bit of a definition about what a chakra is. In Sanskrit, the word means wheel or disc, and we have these spinning discs of energy within our bodies that are receivers and transmitters of energy. And today we're going to be referring to the seven, there's actually more than seven, but the seven main chakras that begin at the base of the spine and work their way up to the crown of the head. And sometimes I think, especially in our Western culture, it's a little bit difficult to understand exactly what that means because we can't see it with our physical eyes, but we can't see radio waves or Wi-Fi either. So the more that mm-hmm. we can become familiar with where these main chakras are located in the body and what they represent both emotionally and physically, we can start to ask the right questions and through those questions sense where there might be an imbalance.
So when you're thinking about in those chakras, how do they relate? Like a lot of people are talking about acupuncture now. I do acupuncture, I can tell you. Mm-hmm. But even patients come to me and they're like, this doesn't work. I don't know. I'll do it anyway. But when they're finished, they're like, okay, that was good. I'll see you next week, you know. And it takes some experience. And I think it takes a patient who is so stuck and rigid that just says, I'm hit the wall, I don't know what else to do, and is then let their guard down so that something else will work. And I know that's true also with chakras, is because you can say to people, this is what we're going to do, this is how we're going to do it, and they're going to have that wall up, but unless they've let that guard down, nothing will move, right?
Right. And, you know, I think what I'd like to do maybe is just go through each of them just briefly to explain what they are and where they are. And what I've learned is these energy fields, they don't work independently of one another. In other words, mm-hmm. if there's a blockage or impeded energy in one, it's going to have a residual effect on all of the others. And I'd love to give mm-hmm. the example of your garden hose that's been sitting outside all winter long, and you go out in spring and you've got your flowers and you turn the hose on for the first time and you hear this kind of this sputter, all this guck and leaves and everything that is stuck in the hose because it's been sitting all winter.
Right.
And finally, that water pushes through and it flows. And I get the same picture mm-hmm. in my mind with the chakras, where if there's one that's impeded, you're going to have too much energy on one side and not enough on the other. But once that flow, mm-hmm. which we'll talk about also, starts, then the energy is free to move throughout the system. So it's kind of a fun visual to think about what might be going on inside us in our energy fields.
But, right. So you could tell us about them.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay. Let's begin just picturing at the base of your spine, and I'll give the colors, and what I'm going to do is just tell you what it looks like when there's too little or too much energy flowing, and what it can lead to physically, and then the questions that you might want to ask yourself to see if that particular field might be out of balance. So at the base of the spine, we have the root chakra, which is called Muladhara in Sanskrit, and it's the color red. And when you're in balance, this is the element of the earth. These are feelings of security and stability and belonging. It's tribal feelings. It's ancestral. It's your right to have and be here on earth. And if there's too little of that going on, you might feel fearful. You might feel kind of flighty. You might have a loss of appetite. You might feel like the ground is moving under your feet. If there's too much of it going on, you might be looking outside yourself to feel balanced and in control, either by overeating, perhaps through compulsive behavior, maybe shopping too much, looking outside yourself to feel grounded. And this can lead physically to weight fluctuations and immune disorders and problems in our joints. And so with the root chakra, I think the question that you want to ask yourself is, am I in need of grounding? Am I looking outside myself to try and be grounded rather than coming from within, asking the questions and realizing my right to have and be here on earth? And so that is the first chakra. And stop me at any time ask any questions.
Sure. Yeah, I have a question about that one. So a lot of times as shaman, people will tell you need to go outside to be grounded. So
yes.
Walk on the ground or, you know, that phrase, hug a tree or whatever it is. And some people are like, that just doesn't work for me. Hey, I live in the land of red ants. I'm not walking on no ground, you know. But, and it's like, I don't think so. And you wonder, you know, how can you be grounded? What does grounded mean? I mean,
well,
so like if you're saying, how can you find that inside yourself? Or is it, if you're looking outside yourself, you're saying, well, I need to go outside to get grounded. That's looking outside yourself, is it not?
Well, but it's your feet that you're going to be feeling on the ground. You want to feel, and whether you're barefoot or in shoes, I mean, it's that actual feeling of the earth. And coming, I think coming into the moment, which is something that is powerful for all the chakras, but especially for the root chakra, when you're in the moment, where, you know, really understanding where you are right now. When we go into the sound also, after I go through the explanation of the chakras, I'll be talking about the sounds that are associated. Making the sound that's associated with that chakra is also then going to be extremely grounding, or whatever it is the attributes are that we're looking at in each of the different chakras. And visualizing the color could be good too. You know, if you want to visualize the color red at the base of your spine, I like to picture like maybe a ruby or a garnet that's shining there. And a lot of times we just have to trust and believe that if we're doing those things, coming into an affirmation around, you know, I am grounded and connected to Mother Earth, that sometimes we have to just believe and trust that if we say and do these things, that we're having an effect on that. And you know, the results will show, you know.
Right. So it's not jumping up and waving a flag at us.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and then just getting in touch with a lot more often that we do it, the more we can feel it, you know. So then the second chakra, if you bring your awareness up then into the pelvic region of the body, this is the sacral chakra, and this is the color orange. And the sacral chakra is the element of water, and this is where we're going to talk about that flow, because it's the seat of creation, and this is the flow of abundance, this is the flow of relationships in our lives. When we have too little of it going on, we're going to be very resistant to change, have anxiety around that. If there's too much of it going on, you could become moody and restless. You might be going in about 10 different directions thinking you're getting something done, but you're actually not flowing anywhere. You're kind of maybe going in circles. And so with the sacral chakra, this can lead to pelvic and lower back pain. It can lead to bladder troubles. It can lead to reproductive and prostate issues because it does house all of the reproductive organs. And a question, this is about not only just the creation from a physical perspective, it's about our creative desires in life, the creativity that we've come here to share with the world. And so if you're feeling that your creative desires are kind of waning, you're probably having an imbalance in the sacral chakra. And so we need to ask ourselves, do I need movement to inspire that process?
Did
you want to ask any questions about that one? Or is that,
good on that one.
So then we move up into the solar plexus region of the body. And what I like to picture here, this is the color yellow. I like to picture it like a brilliant sun shining in our core, because this is the element of fire. This is our sense of personal power. This is moving forward on the path with confidence. So if there's too little of it going on, you might be lacking self-esteem. There might be some shyness about moving forward on your path. If there's too much of it going on, because it's the element of fire, this could lead to anger or becoming overly competitive. And physically, it can lead to ulcers or problems with the liver and the pancreas, because these organs are situated in the solar plexus chakra. Or an inability to stay warm if there's too little of it going on, hot flashes, if there's too much of it going on. And so here we need to ask ourselves, do I need to increase my personal power? Am I feeling connected with that God-Goddess energy within me?
And also, too, when a lot of people are, when we also say about these different areas of the body and the different organs that are in those areas, it is important to people to understand that chakras, when you loosen them up and you start to get flow, some of the issues that you are having in those organs that you may not know will now shine themselves, and you'll be able to start taking care of your health. But also, in the reverse, it can also happen, too. They can send, you could say, I'm really having trouble with my liver, and no matter what I try, it's not working. Then maybe this is just another balancing technique. So they're not, nothing's a quick fix for anything, but everything has to work in tandem to be able to have a complete circle. You can't keep taking out the liver, you know, and cleaning it up or whatever, and, you know, you're not taking care of the rest of the way that the liver's supposed to be working, you know. It's upstream or it's downstream. You know, that's how look at it as a physician. But if you look at the chakras, you know, you can't just work on number 3 and say, I'm going to work on the solar plexus. Forget about the ones above and the ones below. You have to do things in tandem as a complete flowing mechanism. It's got to be I sort of think of it as the skeleton that's up in the chiropractor's office. You know, if you take it off that hook and you wiggle it, everything flows easily. But if you set it down on the ground, everything's jammed up and nothing moves. So you really have to think about that everything has to move in tandem. Otherwise, it won't work.
Yep. Yeah, that's why I mentioned earlier that they don't work independently. They're going to have residual effects on one another. And I like to picture it like a rainbow. When you see a rainbow, one color merges into the next. And that's a similar thing with the chakras. When you work on one, it is going to have an effect on the others. And also, when you were talking, that reminded me that with the emotions, that if we can target an emotion prior to the physical manifestation, so much the better. It's like, if I'm feeling anger, if I deal with my anger now, and I might want to move back then to the sacral chakra, which is the element of water, to cool things down, and then that will help me deal with the anger, with the element of fire. And so if we can handle the emotions, we're going to have a much better chance of preventing the physical manifestation from occurring too.
Right.
So from there, we move up into the heart chakra, so up into the heart region of the body. And the heart chakra, which is the color of emerald green, is like the bridge between the physical and the spiritual. And when we're in balance in the heart chakra, we're able to give and receive love. I know that a lot of the clients I work with, they give a lot of themselves, but they have a harder time receiving. And this is really about being able to open the heart on both sides so that you're getting the sense of filling the well before you're giving everything out. And it's a sense of connection with all beings, this connection and forgiveness as well, forgiveness of self and others. And so if there's too little energy going on in the heart chakra, you might feel yourself being isolated, have a sense of not caring. Maybe you've been hurt in the past, so you've built up armor around the heart to prevent that from happening again, which all that does is not only prevents the love from coming in, it prevents your love from going out. And then on the other hand, if there's too much of it going on, if you're giving, again, too much of yourself, this can lead to enabling behavior or jealousy or even resentment because you've said yes so often. And I always like to ask the people in my workshops or anybody that comes to me with heart chakra imbalances, like, who keeps saying yes? We need to learn that it's okay to say no. We need to have self-care. And enabling people, as a recovered enabler, I can say this, that we're not helping anybody by doing that because they have to walk their own path as well. So
I think also, too, Sorry, mm-hmm. I think so too. As parents, that is part of life, and that is what you do. It's just that learning when that has to lessen down, or when you're needed again. So a lot of people really get stuck in that in their 40s and 50s, because that's when you're letting go of work or children or families, and you know, trying to recreate for yourself. So that is a part of life. It's just the matter that you are aware of it, and then decide to think about it from there.
Mm-hmm, definitely, yeah. And I think that, you know, if you do have a quote-unquote big heart, I mean, it's so difficult to see a child or a friend or you know, someone that you love that's, you know, grasping for help. And, yes, we want to be helpful, but if we help at the expense of our own health, or at the point where they then don't try and do anything for themselves, then that's when you really know that you're needing some balance in the heart chakra. And so physically it can lead to heart ailments. It can also lead to lung ailments, because the lungs are part of the heart chakra, which I love. The heart is the element of air. It's inspiration. It's bringing in spirit. It's bringing in the breath, and can also lead to circulation issues or problems in the breasts. And so questions we can ask ourselves, am I in need of more compassion in my life, both for myself and for others? And from there, we move up into the throat chakra, which is the color blue.
Oh, sorry. Can we go back to the heart one for a second? You know,
sure.
I think back on all of the times, you know, when I used to work with hearts, open heart surgeon, and a lot of people would come in and they would be very restricted, and, you know, they would come in sometimes with their family or sometimes not, and more often than not, the other spouse is kind of, like a better word, you know, like, ruling with the hard rod, you know? And the person that needs the heart surgery is sometimes the one that is feeling that they're under that.
Mm-hmm.
But then all of a sudden, when they have the surgery and, you know, this other spouse would go in to look at them, you know, after the surgery, it would be incredible the amount. You could almost feel the walls. They almost turn into like marshmallows, because the people, all of a sudden, are just looking at this their spouse with all of these wires and hoses and totally incapacitated, and they just decide that they can let that go. And then when the person wakes up, they're just like, I mean, their life is so totally different. And everybody says, oh, well, it was the surgery that made me different. And it's really not. It's just that at that time in your life, you decided to let that go.
Yeah.
And sometimes that will release that flow.
Yeah, the things that are most important, but...
Yeah,
hopefully
too bad they wait until then, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, too bad they wait till then, right? It's just, it's, but it's, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I like that example a lot. So that now I'm coming up into the throat chakra, which obviously located in the region of the throat. This is the ability to be authentic, to speak our truth, and to share our own gift of expression with the world. And I see a real correlation between the throat chakra and the sacral chakra that we spoke about earlier, because the sacral chakra, as we know, is the seat of creation. The throat chakra is the expression of what it is that we create. And, you know, why not be authentic? This is not, you know, this is the real thing, what we're living here, every day of our lives. This is our life. And so there's no time to not be be inauthentic. We have come here with gifts to share. And the interesting thing is, in my workshops, what I've noticed, this is the chakra that most people seem to feel the most out of balance in speaking their truth. And that can be for so many reasons. A lot of times it's because, or most of the time, because of fear of speaking their truth for many different reasons. And so if there's too little energy flowing in this chakra, we may withdraw, we may become frustrated because we're not expressing ourselves the way we want to. And if there's too much of it going on, it can lead to speaking out of turn or an inability to decide, or maybe just filling up the air with sound just to be making sound.
Right.
And this one is, it's just, for me, it's just so important that people realize that that's why they're here. You're here to share who you are and to be able to get beyond the fear of that. And this physically can lead, obviously, to throat issues. It can lead to thyroid issues, because the thyroid is located in the throat chakra. Also in the jaw and the mouth, TMJ, neck and shoulder stiffness. This is a narrow energy field. Actually, it's funny. It's appears to be the narrowest energy field in the body, but the energy field itself is no smaller than any of the others. But because we're physically narrow there, I think there can be a lot of constriction just because of the physical, you know, our throat, and we, you know, you've got the weight of the world on your shoulders. I mean, everything that gets constricted in that area. So to be able to use sound in this one is just phenomenal to open that up and allow yourself to express who you really are. So important. And from there, we move up between the brows and back to midbrain to the third eye chakra. And this is the color indigo, a deep blue-purple and element of light. This is our sense of intuition. This is that inner guidance that we know is there and sometimes gets a little bit foggy. And so if there is too little of it going on, you might feel a lack of focus, feel that there aren't any options, maybe a dulled sense of that inner vision. If there's too much of it going on, you might feel kind of spacey, might have the monkey mind going on where that record that plays over and over and over. And either of these can lead to dizziness, can lead to headaches, can lead to problems with our physical eyes. It's really coming in tune with that knowing that you know is there. And that's why I really believe the third eye and the heart chakra work so well in conjunction with one another, because true honest intuition is going to always stem from the heart. And so the question that we can ask ourselves is, am I able to tune into that intuitive guidance that's within me?
Cool.
And from there, we rise to the seventh chakra up in the crown of the head. So I like to see it kind of going from a lavender light up into a white light that's right at the crown. And in the crown chakra, we're looking not only at our connection with the divine, I think we're looking at the fact that we are sparks of the divine. We're sparks of divine creation that are in this physical vessel that's taking us on this earth path. And if there's too little of it going on, those are those times in life, I think, where we want to hang out the window and shout, is anybody really out there? Is there anyone listening? And if there's too much of it going on, you might start to forget that you have a physical body. And it's like we need that balance of praising this wonderful vessel that's taking us on the earthly journey, but realizing that we always have that connection with a higher power to help us along the path.
You know, I think so many of us have, there's a lot of people now, as when I used to live in the West Coast, with intuitives and shamans and psychics and, you know, those type of healers. And sometimes they would feel like they're way up in their head and they're not of this space, and then we have the others who are so much down in the bottom that they can't see that other. So it's, I mean, you have either way, you know. You have a lot of the base or you have a lot of the top. They just can't seem to get that going in a good rhythm. So maybe you could talk to us about sound now, because maybe that might be something that would bring those more together, because a lot of times people are definitely having that where it tends to float up more or down more, and it just is not getting...
Yeah. Exactly, and on any given day, one of them can be in balance and one of them can't, so Everett might not be asking these questions. Let's go through what the sounds are. These are Sanskrit seed sounds is what they're called, and these sounds themselves are infused with eons of energy, and so when we make them, we're tapping into that energy. So if we start at the root chakra at the base of the spine, again, the element of the earth and those feelings of groundedness and stability, the seed sound for the root chakra is LAM, L like Larry, L-A-M, LAM. And I've been called the master of modality melding, because what I like to do is not only make the sound, I like to use emotion that goes along with it, because I feel like the motion, the intention, and the sound together, it's like incomparable as far as the strength of the energy around that. So when we make, in my chakra play, little intervals, when we make the sound of LAM, what I do is just take my hands, and I'll just explain what I do. The palms just facing down towards the earth, so that you're bringing earth energy up into your hands. So we'd have the palms facing the earth and making the seed sound of LAM for the root chakra. And then moving up into the sacral chakra, again, the element of water and flow and the seed of creation, this is the seed sound of VAM, V like Victor, A-M, VAM. And the little hand motion that I make, if you took both of your hands, I can only do one because I have one hand on the phone, it would be kind of like a sideways figure eight. So you're taking your hand kind of in a wave motion up and down. And this for me just represents the element of the flow of the water within me. So you'd be making the sideways figure eight motion, also called an infinity flow because it's the figure eight, and the seed sound of Vom. And then rising up into the solar plexus, the element of the fire and our confidence and our personal power, we tuck the thumbs, which are fire energy, just gently inside the fists, and we make the seed sound of Ram, R-A-M, Ram. And then coming up into the heart chakra, just a very simple move of placing the hands on the heart space, the seed of connection, and the seed sound of Yam, Y-A-M. And then further up into the throat, our seat of self-expression, I make what I call Padme Mudra. It's a hand position that looks like a lotus flower, where you bring the heels of your hands together, the pinkies together, and the thumbs together, and the other fingers are stretched out, so it looks like a flower. And you hold the hands just right directly in front of the throat space, and you make the seed sound of Ham, H-A-M. So you're almost feeling that vibration on the hands as the hands are open for that, to allow that flow of self-expression. And then further up into the third eye, our element of intuition and the element of light, we bring the hands together like prayer hands and then place the thumbs right between the brows with just a little bit of pressure and the prayer hands resting against the third eye chakra. And this is the seed sound of Om, O-M, Om. And then up into the crown. And for the crown, it's also just a very simple gesture. It's the hands now, rather than face down towards the earth, it's the hands face up towards the heavens. And this is just the seed sound of silence, just allowing that heavenly guidance to flow in through the body and into the hands. So those would be the sounds and the associated hand positions with them. And this is
so
all also in the...
Can you tell us a little bit about, like, can you go through it and make the sounds? Can you do a little bit of that play? I'm hearing what you're saying, that sometimes we need to put it all together.
Okay. Well, what if we just go one through one time making each of the sounds, and then if you'd like, we can do an actual excerpt from the book and do one of the situational things with the chakra play, if you'd like to do that.
Sure, go ahead. That'd be great.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so let's just start at the root chakra then with our hands facing the earth, and it would be simply the seed sound of Lam. And then we always come into a little bit of silence following the sound. As David Gibson from the Globe Institute says, that's when the angels come into play, because you're taking that vibration and you're letting it flow on. And then up into the sacral chakra, we're moving our hands in those little sideways figure eights and into the seed sound of Vam. So it sounds like this. Vam. And then up into the solar plexus, we tuck the thumbs gently inside the fists and come into the seed sound of Ram, R-A-M. Ram. And then up into the heart with our hands gently placed on the heart chakra and the seed sound of Yam. Yam. And then that lotus flower held directly in front of the throat space into the seed sound for the throat chakra of Ham, H-A-M. Ham. Further still into the third eye with prayer hands resting gently against the third eye and the seat sound of Om. Om. And then hands facing up and just a breath and silence of inviting in divine guidance. So that would be the sounds of the chakras.
So when somebody is doing this, do you have like a certain pattern that they do, or do they always go from bottom on up, or are you using it just as certain ones that someone may be indicated for help?
You know, actually you could do any of the above. I like to start at the root and work my way up to the crown. So if you, say, when you first wake up in the morning, just wanted to do a general chakra clearing, you could just tone each of them and, you know, bring your awareness to the color, bring your awareness to the gifts of each of the energy fields. Or, again, if you're answering one of those questions, like maybe from the solar plexus, am I feeling more in need of personal power, you know, then you might go directly to the solar plexus, tuck the thumbs and do a few rounds of toning, gram, and feeling, you know, that goddess energy inside you. So it can be used either just to bring the balance overall, or you can, you know, pinpoint a specific chakra where you think that you might need to be bringing more energy.
Interesting. So is it, do you have to do it like one time, or do you have to do it a few times? I mean, like the sounds in each location?
For a general balancing, you could just do, even just do the one. I mean, I know everybody's on all these time constraints, you know. But in my book, and I don't know if we're going to have time to do it as many times as I suggest in the book, that we do 9 rounds, because 9 in the Taoist philosophy is a very auspicious number for bringing things into fruition. And so in the book we do the sounds 9 times. And so that's the longer and more often that you can do it. 9 is a nice number, you know, to be often enough to really get the vibration going. But again, you know, it's intention. Intention is 9/10 of the battle, I think. And if you can just even do it once with some intention, you're going to be having an energetic effect on the field.
Cool. Interesting. So you also spoke about meridians. I know the time we have about 20 minutes left. Can you touch a little bit on meridians and about the elements? I know you do talk about that in the book. And again, your book is called Chakra Play, and the link for the book is on today's show page if anyone is interested. And also Maureen's website is located directly on today's show page. You just click right directly on there, and you'll go right straight to the page.
Well, let's see. Actually, it's two different areas in the book that the one area when I speak about the meridians, I go into meridian tapping. Some people call it an emotional freedom technique, and that when you finish up one of the intervals in chakra play, like if you were doing one, say, for living your soul purpose, most of the issues I think that I've chosen in the book are really universal in scope. There's so many people now, I think, that are out there going, I know I want to help, I want to be of service, but I don't know what it is that I want to do, or I know what I want to do, and I don't know how to get there. And so if you do one of the rounds of the chakra play, and then it ends up with an affirmation to kind of tie a bow on the package and bring it all together. And what I've shown is that if you actually tap on certain meridian points with the affirmation, you've already addressed the issue, so you've brought the clearing, and then you can go right into an affirmation and tap. If you're familiar with the tapping technique, I do go into it in the book and where, you know, the areas that you would tap. The meridians, also of interest, I think, the meridians, which are these roads of energy that are associated with the organs and flow throughout our body, how they correlate with the chakras. The way that I see it, the chakras are like the hubs that are along the interstate, and then the meridians run through the chakras. So it's all energy. They all blend together. But we can come into tapping on certain acupoints to help relieve some of that stagnation. So that's why I brought that into the book. I thought it would be just an extra little way to kind of release the stagnation in the fields.
Interesting. So how would somebody be able to, where do you want to go? Do you want to tell us a little bit more about if someone's having an issue, how they would be able to identify that, or did you want to do?
I'll just give an example. I won't go through the whole thing, but like on living your soul purpose, the two chakras that I chose to work on for that were the solar plexus chakra and the heart chakra, because you want to come into that, you know, that peaceful warrior spirit within you, the confidence. And you want to take that confidence and let it flow up into the heart, because it's the desires of the heart that are going to help you to determine what your soul purpose is. So in that particular round of chakra play, what you would do is tuck your thumbs for the fire energy, and you would come into the seed sound of the Ram. and then you would see the light from the solar plexus flowing up into the heart, and then you'd bring your hands to your heart space and tone the yam. And you would go back and forth between these. We kind of turn ourselves into musical instruments. So you would be toning between ram and up into the heart, yam, and back to the solar plexus, ram, and back to the heart, yam, using the hand motions. And once you've gone through this 9 times, you've created that beautiful field of energy and light between those 2 chakras, and then you would come into an affirmation that says, the warrior spirit within me awakens, liberates, and ignites the calling of my heart. And you would say that also 9 times. And so you've cleared the energy fields, and now you're setting the intention. And so I think that the combination of those can be really powerful. So that would be just a typical round of chakra play and how that looks, in case anyone was wondering what that is. What is a round of chakra play?
and people can just take little pieces of this and start to play with it. It's not that they have to be an expert at it, or it's not that they're doing it right or wrong. They can just start. I mean, Maureen's book is it's a smaller book. It's something that has pictures and drawings and words, and it's very simple. It's not something you have to sit down and think, I got to read this whole book before I figure this out. It's not. Because in your book, I think if you just sit down and you just say, I'm going to start, then you can get better at it later. But just starting to do something will make a difference, will it not?
Oh, exactly. And in the contents that you can choose, once you know what it is to do a round of chakra play, what is it that you're looking for? Are you trying to reduce clutter in your life? Have you lost someone close to you and you're going through a grieving period? Just different things. You can look in the contents and find, an issue that might be going on in your life, and you can just flip directly to that section and do whichever one is, speaks to you.
Gosh, so it is something that you can start doing, though, easily, too. And I think a lot of people, even if you know nothing about this stuff, it's just kind of, as the word says, play. Just start to try something and have fun with it, because you'll be able to make some changes, in your energy, if anything. You won't be using that word stuck every single day like so many people are,
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It should make a little bit of difference in different areas. And as you get better, like you have in the back of the book, you can start learning some of the patterns and different ways of being able to put things together, right?
Exactly. And what you reminded me of when you said that, Jonathan Goldman, who's a sound healer and musician, I think he lives in Colorado, he has an excellent book called The 7 Secrets of Sound Healing. And he has this equation that I love. He says, vocalization plus visualization equals manifestation. So when we vocalize something that we're intending, there's the manifestation. And this can be both a blessing and a curse, because we're doing this every day sometimes without even thinking about it. And so when things are happening that are, kind of taking you in a downward spiral, it's time to start looking at what you're thinking and what you're saying, because that's energy that you're putting out there. And so think of the power behind it then when you really are doing with it with intention. And then, and coming from your heart, I think it's so important just that whatever we do is heart-centered. And if you're doing that, the sounds and coming from your heart, you're definitely, you might not see a result tomorrow, but, it's,
right.
You might, it's so powerful. And I thought that equation just kind of sums a lot of it up as far as the world of sound and vibration.
Well, a lot of times, too, when people are doing this meditation and they're doing what they call manifestation or thinking about it or whatever, a lot of people just will sit there for hours on end thinking, I'm going to think about it and it's going to happen. Well, you have to have action to be able to do something.
Yeah.
You have to somewhere. Mm-hmm. Either your body has to move, your mind has to move, your energy has to move. Something has to move to be able to create that. Energy is only made, it just doesn't appear. You have to shift from what you have to a different space. We always say that energy cannot be created nor destroyed, It's just moving it around. So if we're moving it around for a better result, that is more of what we're doing here with the chakras and the sounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the sound being that vibration, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And then you mentioned the elements, and what I did here is I've been working with a tool called the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator, which is a personality tool based on the theory of Carl Jung for over 25 years now, and I just took a real condensed version of the temperament theory from that and called it element types, and where I looked at the earth, the water, the air, fire, and the air, and how our personality can have a distinct indication on or impression on our health and our issues and our emotions. And by realizing who we are and getting to know ourselves better, we can find out where we might be vulnerable as far as becoming imbalanced. And so in this book, we're looking at that along with sound and how finding out what your home-based sound might be so that you can keep that and how to try to keep yourself in balance by knowing what that sound might be. So there's a little indicator that you can fill out inside the book to find out what your element type is and where your home base is. And, again, questions to ask if you're in and out of balance and what to do about it. So.
And it is a simple book to be able, in other words, like I said before, it is simple. You can pick it up and be able to follow along pretty quickly, don't you think?
I think so, yeah. And just getting the general knowledge of what the chakras are and just starting to work with them, you know, finding out. I think the questions are really, really key. If you can ask the question and, you know, am I in my creative desires? Are they being squelched? Am I feeling, you know, able to express myself? You know, whatever the question is that you're asking, you can pinpoint then the chakra that might be out of balance. And if there's a physical manifestation already occurring, then it's almost even easier to say, oh, okay, there's something going on here. I need to, you know, to give this some attention. Oh, which reminds me, I feel like we have an internal GPS system like we have in our cars. And when we have a pain, say your shoulder's been aching, I think we have such a tendency to damn it instead of praise it. And this is really the only way our bodies can speak with us. I tell this to my yoga students almost every week. It's if there's something going on in your body that hurts, don't say, oh, you know, darn you. Say, thank you. What are you trying to tell me? Because there's a message there. And once we can get into the message of what's happening, that's when you can start to release it. Not to mention saying thank you, thank you, thank you for the millions of things that are going right in our bodies. And when we thank the things that are going right, we're going to raise the vibration of what isn't going so right. So I think that's really important to think about too.
And I think a lot of times when we have pain or something hurts or something's amiss, the first thing when anyone, let's say you hurt your shoulder, first thing you do is you put your hand on it and you hold it. It's like
mm-hmm.
holding it is going to change it, you know? And holding it is not going to change it. Holding it is just going to say, okay, I've got you, you know,
and then
be able to learn the lesson from
love,
there.
You know? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, and yeah, I think that's it's just important that we realize, you know, how many things are going on in our bodies that we're not even, you know, considering. And, gosh, that reminded me of something that I was going to tell you, and it just flew right out of my head.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, just that how sound is being used in phenomenal ways in the field of healing. And just for instance, with cancer, what they're doing is they're using a dissonant sound, so a sound that doesn't sound really nice, to break things up. And then they're using a harmonious, very resonant sound to raise the vibration of the body into healing. And when I have a client come to me, before we go into a round of chakra play, I'll ask them, you know, whatever situation they're dealing with, and we'll go into a sound, like if it's something that's causing them to be angry, we might make that sound of anger, you know, make it a few times, and then
right.
come into silence, and then go into a soothing sound like, ooh.
Right.
So what you're doing is you're recognizing it, which I think is one of the most important things. It's recognizing something that's going on rather than stuffing it, which is what causes the stuckness that we talked about. Recognize it, break it up, release it, and then come into something that's healing. I think that's really, really key.
Cool. Because a lot of times, too, like as we've said in the beginning, going back to the beginning, is that you can't force something to move that isn't ready to be moved either. So you really
mm-hmm.
have to recognize where it came from in the first place. Or, in other words, what is its composition? What is it made up of? You can't keep pushing love on something that is full of hate. You know, you can slowly, because unless you haven't acknowledged what that is, you just keep pushing against it. It's, you're not going to get anywhere, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, right. you know, that would be, I mean, no matter how hard you try, it's just not going to go. You have to dissolve it or melt it with love, but you can't just keep ramming at it. And that is definitely, I think, what takes a little bit more time when you're using the chakras, I think, with the sound. And based on the sound and the action and the visualization, those three together definitely will help to make a little bit more movement rather than just continuously ramming at it, trying to get it to move.
Yeah. And we have to believe it and trust it, you know. It's that things are, whether you could see it right away or not, you are having an impact. And love yourself through it, you know. It's so important, I think, for us to have this self-love and just feel how worthy we are, because I think that's an emotion that a lot of people are feeling imbalance with in their own worthiness. You know, it's okay. We're all here to be joyful. Things happen, but you know, we gotta stay on top of it. And
well, I think
you
too,
said, play.
right, and I think a lot of people have developed masks over the years, and I think those masks, you know, are pretty much, you know, what we look like, what we sense, what we feel, everything that's going on. And a mask is just something, you know, where your business, where you look like, and to let that just fall down and say, you know, hey, I'm just a human being, made mistakes, here I am, and where am I going next, is a pretty vulnerable place. A lot of people can't get you until they get something like cancer or until they get something like, you know, a seriously life-threatening disease, or and they just plain hit that wall. And the choice then is, are you going to pick up the ashes and recreate, or are you just going to blow them away? And I think that's where a lot of people are these days.
Yeah, and hopefully we can, you know, help people get to that place of play and worthiness without having to hit bottom. You know, because I don't think we have to hit bottom to get there. But yeah, a lot of people have. But I would love to be able to do what I can to get people in a joyful state without having to do that.
And it's so much easier, like we've said, is to be able to start someplace. You know, just start with something little and be able to do something. I think we've covered almost everything we wanted to today. Did you have anything else you'd like to share? We have about 4 more minutes.
I guess just maybe the last chapter in the book. I'm a huge animal lover. They're like my biggest passion.
Yes.
I love people.
That'd
I
be
love
great.
Animals.
Mm-hmm.
And just that it's not just for two-leggeds.
Yeah.
It's for four-leggeds as well. And you can do surrogate things with your, just as a quick example, if your dog has separation anxiety, that you would go into maybe the lower three chakras, the grounding and the release of fear and coming into their personal power, and just hold your hand gently on them and make the sounds and really have the intention of what it is that you're trying to help your animal with, and because they're all in this with us, you know, and they're probably more sensitive, or I think they are more sensitive to the energy than we are, because they don't have the blocks that we've got. So it's just kind of nice to know that we can help our four-leggeds with that too.
And I think it's just as well with younger children too, because you know they don't have that fear or sense or really the sense of being able to know what the patterns are that always come with their actions. And, mm-hmm. you know, to be able to just have that ability to go out every day and say, I don't need to worry about it because I don't know what's coming at me, you know. And how can we as adults even just start to turn it around and say, what can we do, you know, each day to not be bringing those patterns with us all the time? As I've said in many shows before, is that God does not sign for UPS. Your baggage is not coming. You know, you have to figure out a way to do something with it now, you know.
Yeah.
And if you don't do something with it now, you're going to have a whole lot of it, you know, you're going to regret.
Yeah, excellent. And, you know, if anyone listening has any questions, if you go to my website, my email address is there, and I would be more than happy to share with you. You know, if any of this has been confusing or you just wanted to bounce anything off me, please feel free to contact me. I'd love to help.
And can you tell us about your books and your website?
The website is at www.sagebutterfly, S-A-G-E and butterfly written out, .com. And there is a link there for the chakra play, as well as a number of other things that I do. And I just would love to commune with anyone that would like to commune. And I have a blog that if you'd be interested, I send out maybe once every 2 weeks, just either usually includes affirmations or possibly a little meditation.
Great. Well, Maureen, it was really a pleasure having you with us today. I know so many people. Oh, I do have one question. And this is a question a lot of people have asked, and it totally flew away from my mind, too. If you are currently seeing a physician and you do have health concerns, or if you are currently having a real, hit the wall almost, you can still do this type work, correct?
Oh, this will not injure anyone, no. Sound knows exactly where to go, so no one needs to have any worries about that.
And it may even help to be able to. I know a lot of times when I've done acupuncture or when I was speaking to the people and we've kind of just worked with a little bit more energy balancing, a lot of times it took a lot of the attention, stress, or sometimes the pain away from the other areas because we think of pain as being a stuck area in Chinese medicine. And also we think of, just things not working right or whatever might be going on as really that huge, profound amount of stuckness, and if you can get that moving. So this would be something they could also do to be able to help move through some of those extra feelings that they may be having.
Oh, I believe that. And it makes people feel more proactive, too. You know, they're not just having someone do something to them. They're able to, take a bit of control in their own life.
Yes, because when you sit down and you're letting everybody else, it doesn't have that full circle thing. It's sort of like you don't have any say or anything in the way you're being handled or treated or even, thought of. So you really do need to think about that for yourself. Well, Maureen, thank you so much for being with us today. I know your book, it's really great. It's very simple. The listeners would love it. They're able to just pick it up and be able to start with something. If you have any loved ones in your family that are having a lot of problems in their life right now, maybe physical, emotional, or spiritual, this book will help. It is something simple that everybody can start on, take 10 minutes, just flip through the book and say, I think I'll try this and see what happens, And try it for about 5 or 6 days and then see what happens. So thank you so much for being with us today, Maureen. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Great, and have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. So if you'd like more information about Maureen, her website link is on today's show page. Also, the link for her book, Chakra Play, is on today's show page. It is about the magical vibration of you. And we talked a lot about being able to get the flow back. You always have to think of the river. Every time you hit one of those boulders, the waves hit it, it splashes up and it makes a sound or, it may be collecting moss and stuff and a lot of the other sediment. Things just don't flow. So what chakras are about and sound is about getting that flow back so that you don't have to have that violent hitting of the water or that stagnation of building up all of that extra seaweed and moss. So try it out. Try the book Chakra Play with Maureen Kelly, and thank you so much for being with us today. It's been a pleasure, and hope to speak with you again tomorrow. Have a great day.